real business owners. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 30. I've got myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kel Goodman. This time we've got a couple special guests for you.
Isn't this 31?
Is it 30? Or 31?
Yes. 31, yeah.
Dude, hey, just so that you guys know, it is like 7:30 in the morning as we're recording this, so you can have a cup of coffee with the Easier Accounting Bros. And I'm not all the way awake yet, so, you know, hopefully we don't disappoint on this one. But yeah, I guess it is episode 31, and it's brought to you by Easier Accounting. Guys, the guests that we have for you today are our business partners. Guys, we co-own 5 businesses together. One of the ways we're able to do it is by dividing and conquering a little bit. You know, everybody has their own strengths with inside of the partnership, right? Some people are, you know, tech savvy, and you know, some people aren't tech savvy, right? Some people are doing sales, you know, more so than others, right? Some people are networking. And so if you guys have a partnership, you guys need to probably find out maybe what each individual's strengths are. Mm-hmm. And kind of divide and conquer, similar to what we're trying to do and what we have been doing over all these years. So we've got our business partners, JD Levitt.
What's up?
We've got Jeremy Woodard.
How's it going?
Woodhard, you know,
yeah,
is what we call him around the office.
Yeah, we were at some event where Trevor made them change my name.
Yeah.
To Woodhard.
Jeremy Woodhard.
Woodard.
Woodard. I threw the H in there. You got to have a little bit of fun with your partners and throw them some shit. Yeah, that was a good time. Where was that?
That was at the Corporate Alliance event.
Oh, yeah. That was supposed to be like a super business event. And like, I get so bored with some of the like the traditional business events. It's like everyone's all uptight, overly dressed, you know, trying to be like the sharpest looking businessman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can dress up a turd and it looks like a businessman. So you can't really judge an individual in the suit, but.
Well, you lighten the mood on that one.
Yeah, that was a, dude, everyone at the table thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was you good. Know, so it, just so that you guys know, business people that wear suits do like funny jokes just as much as you and I.
You mean they're human?
Yeah, they are human. It's weird.
You mean
right?
Dudes actually kind of think alike?
Yeah.
Sometimes people are afraid to drop a funny joke or a whatever, innuendo.
Because
everyone usually appreciates it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, I can be myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody's got to.
These guys are real.
Yeah, somebody's got to throw it out there and kind of drop the pressure of a table, you know, because everyone's trying to be the guy or the girl at the table in terms of the most successful, where everybody's guessing. That's what I hate about some of those business events where it's like, dude, quit acting like something. We're all here to just learn, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like a competition to see who's generating the most revenue, but sometimes you feel that way some of those business events.
I feel like what they do is they feel like I have to be 100% professional because, you know, they...
Trying to maybe get business?
They want to earn your business, you know? And
true.
I feel like that because I've done that, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I got to act like I know what I'm talking about and I got to be, you know, professional. I got to look sharp. I don't want them to think I'm some joker or whatever. Otherwise, they want to do business with me. And at the end of the day, man, like, you got to kind of go through that as a business owner.
Dude,
pop out the other side,
I honestly...
Like, realize, like, dude, they're just people.
Yeah,
they're,
exactly.
They think the same shit I think is funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And, dude, when I first started going to these events, I felt like an imposter. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting at a table with all these people that are dressed nice, and I just dress nice only for the event. And I guess, like, are they dressed like this all the time, or are they only dressed like this for the event? Because everybody that, you know, follows the Instagram account or listens to the podcast know that, you know, I dress down and wear hats and, you know, like to wear a little bit more comfortable clothing. But did you guys feel that way when you guys first started going to events, you know, just young, you know, when you and Jeremy originally started in business?
That's when I went through it the most, man.
Was imposter syndrome, like feeling kind of out of place?
Oh, dude, and just even fear, bro. Like, afraid to approach people that look like they had their shit together more than me or...
Yeah,
you know, all that stuff.
A lot of times it's a front for people, you know.
Yeah.
I think you got to be genuine. You got to be who you are. And if that comes across and rubs someone the wrong way, big deal.
Yeah.
That's who you are, you know. And as you were talking earlier, I wanted to go back to the partnership. Austin Netsley, we just attended his mastermind.
Yeah.
He says it's pretty amazing that we've been able to keep this partnership together for so long.
Yeah.
You know, he says not many people can do it. So,
well, that's one of the first things you hear a lot of people say. They're like, "Oh, wow. That must be hard." you know, because maybe they've gone through partnership split ups and things like that, or whatever it is.
Sometimes it is, man. It's like marriage. Yeah, best marriages go through hard shit.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean that you don't love your spouse, you know, but there will be friction at times. There will be hard times, and it's just a matter of working through it. And I think what it boils down to is what we're doing a little bit better, even more so now, just recentering and having better communication in terms of trying to get on the same page and understand where, you know, everybody's at in terms of their duties, and everybody kind of stays in their lane. And the only way to do it is by communicating, right?
Aligning the vision between us four. And
if everybody has the same North Star, so to speak, and we're all headed in the same direction, what can you do to help us get there? And then you do, you know, and really communicate. That's what it takes in a marriage, and that's what it takes in any sort of business relationship.
I think this is a great idea, by the way, Kale, to come out here at the end of the year and the plan for 2020.
Yeah.
You know, it gets us all on the same page. We set the same goals. We got the North Star, the compass direction, you know, with where we want to go. And so we're in alignment. And now we just define the roles that we play in the partnership so that we could divide and conquer, like you
said. And then execute them through the year. That's really what this whole trip was about, man. We took on, you know, this firm to help us get our systems and processes more dialed in. I really liked what I heard from Austin. That's why I reached out to him and ultimately talked to you guys about hiring him, because I'm like, dude, we need this, because everybody is running around with their heads cut off. Like me and Trevor just like taking leads and using Jared to help us with the higher end people that need more tax, like strategies to even onboard with us. And then we're throwing some to JD, and we're taking some ourselves. Yeah. And like, it was like crazy, man. I was like, dude, we have to define things. And I really liked what I heard from Austin, but that's really what hit me when I put this trip together. I was like, dude, we have so much to get done for this year to segue right into next year. Yeah. And it was like, we need to get a crap ton of content put together for our new email drips. And we need to, you know, we need to really define these roles. And so it was kind of a perfect timing to be like, now let's really divide and conquer. Plus, it's been a great time. You know, we've been able to really talk, bounce ideas off each other, take the things that we learned. Now it's execute time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude, January is going to be busy as shit.
Yeah.
You know, the holidays are busy with family. This was probably the last week that we could have done something like this and hurry and get away. You know, figure some things out, get content put together for email drips, you know, and do all the stuff that we've been doing will benefit us for the next year.
This is the busiest holiday season I've ever been through in my life.
Oh my God.
Most people are like, it's slowing down. You know, hey, it's holidays, let's chill out or whatever. And I always feel like that too, because we've always done that. And this year I'm just like, I can't, because I have all these commitments. Yeah. And then next year's going to be even crazier. And then we're rolling into tax season. We need to do some things now. And so, and that's kind of like weird in business as you grow. Like you always think like you're going to hit this level where you can just sit relax. Back and chill. And it never seems to happen. It just gets busier and busier.
It can. And we found that out with this mastermind this weekend. If you delegate appropriately, you know.
So what?
That's the hard thing to do.
That's very hard. You said something last night at dinner about delegating, where people like to believe that they're the only ones that can do the job. Like out of 7 billion people on the planet, that can't be true. What I mean? Like you can't be the only person to do the job.
What is your role, and what is the definition of that role? Everything else that doesn't pertain to that role needs to be delegated so that you can focus on one task. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, we've all been running around with our heads cut off, you know, not having that cohesive direction, and nothing's getting done. Just coming down here this weekend, how much have we got done?
A ton, right?
And I think we feel better about that, right?
I wouldn't say nothing was getting done. It was getting done in a disorganized manner, right? Because it was, as business picks up, everybody's just trying to wear every
scramble.
Hat, right? Yeah. Like, I'll take the call, you know, and rather than saying, oh, there's a call coming in, let's get it to the sales department or this or that.
Like, it's like if you're a football team and you have this perfectly executed plan to get this next play down the field, and what happens? Linebacker gets through the line, breaks the whole play up. Now the quarterback is scrambling. He's looking for anybody open. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He still might make the pass.
Yeah. We were pulling it off, we were scrambling.
Yeah. You know? So like even we're guilty. You guys might look at us like we've got it all figured out. Again, we don't have it all figured out. Like we still lean on people. We still invest in systems and processes and always trying to hit that next level, because we know as you grow, you need like ironclad very well detailed who does what the process is a customer will go through if they work through you, and every customer will experience the same process.
Yeah. And I think Scale 2X is right, dude. It isn't as hard as we make it.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for, is to be those outside eyeballs of like, dude, this is what you guys need to do, because it's almost like a whole new job on top of your job that you've created as a partner or your role in the company. It's like, dude, I can't find the time to sit down and fine tune all my processes to start training and delegating to somebody else.
When
and
it stuff. Gets too
but really, it isn't that hard. You just have to do it, right?
And that's one of the nuggets that we took away. You know, we all learned recently that we can just record a video on Loom of the tasks that we're trying to accomplish and maybe detail out the things that need to be done with that task.
Yeah.
And you pass it on to the next individual who's learning it, you know, and then it's off your plate. You know, so all these repetitive things that we do can easily be delegated. I'm curious to know your perspective on what you got out of the event.
Yeah, the big takeaway of the event.
You know, man, I think that a big epiphany that I had was just this is my first
mastermind
really. And you know, I always kind of thought, you know, being in sales, I don't want to be sold, you know.
And so
paying thousands of dollars to get systems and processes. We've all talked about it for a long time, but I just thought to myself, man, we've been in the sales game for a long time, and I didn't want to be sold anything, you know. So I almost feel like, man, that's a regret that I have is, you know, not actually paying to learn from business owners and take in and whatnot. I, you know, the fact that we, you know, the past 48 hours, we spent 24 hours with business owners that are learning from other business owners. And dude, it was super insightful to actually hear the same problems, no matter the business model that it is.
The struggle is the struggle.
Yeah.
And it does not discriminate in terms of anything, in terms of how you grew up. It doesn't, I mean, if you grew up rich or you grew up poor, the struggle is the struggle in business.
Yeah, business is business.
Business. Yeah. No matter the industry, the guy that mows the lawn has struggles or problems with inside of his business as the same guy who owns an accounting firm. It's just, again, how do I service more customers? How can I do it better? How can I make my customers happier? How can I get referrals? How can I, you know what I mean? It's all the same shit.
Yeah.
It's just a different industry, and everybody wants a smoother, better, less stressful process, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's possible, but it's you got to go through stuff to get there. And at the end of the day, man, like, we look at other businesses sometimes, you know, we think they got their shit together because they're making millions and billions of dollars, but really, dude, they have messes too. And so sometimes I think as a business owner, you got to be like, oh man, this is a mess, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I've just got to do something about it.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and so, and you got to take steps towards doing something.
The mess will stay the mess if you don't take action. Like you just show up every day hoping something will change. And I think everybody's probably guilty of that at one point, just kind of getting so caught up in the day to day that you're not even projecting out like, damn, like, I don't want to deal with this same headache and stress for the next 5 years. And if I don't do something now, it's going to be that way, you know?
Yeah, Austin mentioned some guy who attended a mastermind.
Yeah.
He sat up in the hot seat and he says, I absolutely hate my business. And he's making millions of dollars.
Really?
So he made some adjustments, delegated, you know, all those monotonous tasks that he had to do. And it was like 3 or 6 months later, I think he got reported back, and he said he loved it, right?
He doubled his gross.
Yeah.
He doubled his gross, but I don't think he was at millions, but I think he was pretty high up there. But yeah, sometimes you get wrapped up in the being the technician, you know, you start off the business wearing all the hats and you don't have to wear all the hats. You have to just put the right systems and people in the process, make a clear cut path of this is your job. This is how you fulfill your job. And so the really short of it is I wish we would have gotten sold that type of, that product before, you know, just thinking about it, it's like, it seems so simple now from a bird's eye view of our company and some of the struggles that we've just had to work through.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's a lot of power in hiring people to bring those outside ideas in.
Different perspective. Like,
you guys got something here, but let's make some changes.
You know?
Let's make some.
I think it's because our head's in the dirt. You know what I mean? Like, we're such in our own shit on a day-to-day basis that you're so close to the problem that you can't even know. You can't even identify it.
Yeah.
You don't even know what the hell it is. You know there's problems, or there's a headache, there's extra stress. It shouldn't be this hard, but yet you're so close to it that you're like, but I can't change anything. Nobody can do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Nobody did it, you know, and you start making all of these excuses for yourself on why you're dealing with that much headache and stress and whatever it is and struggle. So you're making excuses for yourself rather than trying to create a solution.
But what's
isn't that weird?
But what's cool now is we have a coach every week that holds us accountable to certain things that we have to complete, you know?
This is shit that we've been talking about for the last 6 months in this podcast.
Yeah.
Is getting coaches and mentors and self-improvement and investing into your business through shit like this, dude. And so it's like good to like have this podcast that drops on January 1st, 2020. So happy new year.
Yeah.
But you know, like for you guys to hear even our business partners talking about investing into coaching or mentoring or systems and processes, it's validating everything that me and Kel have been talking about for the last 6 months.
It's something I wish I would have done for myself
a long time ago.
Yeah. And I've been in sales. I've always just worried about
commission.
Commission and just kind of worrying from week to week and
focus on money.
You know, like
that's the driving force behind business, but then we don't put the processes or the foundation in place properly. In fact, one of my epiphanies yesterday is building a business from fulfillment forward through, you know, thinking of the client the whole way through the process, because by the time they get to you, 80% of the sale is done, you know, and it's just a simple, okay, sign up here, you know.
Yeah.
So if you think of fulfillment with the customer in mind and the experience or the outcome that you want for them or that they need based on your preliminary investigation of the customer, you know that you can build around that and deliver a great product.
Pretty much every business owner that was there, they were talking more leads, more leads, more leads, more marketing, more marketing, right? And they were saying, stop. Let's worry about the end result, the fulfillment. And if you're doing that right, if you're servicing your client right, you're creating raving fans. And those raving fans like to talk about the good service. They like to talk about, you know, ultimately having a good...
It's almost bragging, right?
Well,
I've got the guy, right? Everybody wants to be the source of something good, right? Like, hey, do you know where a good place to eat is? And you want to, you know, if you look at that even on Facebook, how many people will start commenting because they want to be
my
the
spot.
Yeah, the like, oh my gosh, you've got to try this or whatever, because they want to be the source of good information. Yeah. So if you kick ass in terms of a landscaper or a plumber or an accounting business or what, a real estate agent, and you think of the end customer, right? And how can I make that experience different or unique so that I do create that raving fan that now wants to be the source of good information that says, you've got to work with these guys, so that when their mind is blown working with them, then they can pound their chest and say, see, I told you.
That's what influence is, man.
Yeah.
And how do you create influence?
Exactly.
Create an experience that people like, that they want to share with other people. Because, dude, when you create that experience, now those people just automatically want to go market your business for you. And that's true influence. Right. Your lead cost goes way down too.
Well, look at what we're doing for Austin at this point. I mean, we're talking about his mastermind.
Yeah.
Hey, he's done a good job.
And we're just absolutely blown away for what we got and the value he provided, you know?
So. Yeah. I mean, dude, we did episode 30 on the podcast. We talked about investing into you and your business. And we were sitting there talking out on the back, sitting there saying like, dude, like, it's never too early to invest into your business or you, or getting that plane ticket and networking with like-minded people. It's very weird. Like, on the outside, when you look at these network groups, you think it's just a bunch of sell, like they're trying to sell you to get in the group.
Yeah.
And dude, I was guilty of it too. My defenses is up. And I'm like, dude, you're just saying all the good shit because you want, you know, 10 G's, 20 G's, 40 G's, whatever it is on these groups. And then you get inside the groups and you're like, dude, there's real value in being around other people that are going through the same shit as you, to where one, you don't feel alone.
Yeah.
Secondly, you realize, hey, I'm not crazy, or, you know, this is completely normal, but now let's address it. And we were talking about just sitting on the couch this morning at like 6 a.m. or 6:30 about a lot of the power also with inside of these networking groups may not be the a lot of the information told to you. It could be the people within sight of the group 100%. That you're now networking yeah. with that are the exact same as you. If somebody is a business consultant and we own an accounting firm, we might both be at the same networking event and getting good information. But if I sit next to that person at lunch and we create a good connection, that might now be a good referral source Absolutely. As a consultant to an accounting firm. You just never know what will happen with inside a group. You'll grow personally,
yeah.
you'll grow in your business, and you might grow in terms of building more friendships and relationships. Well, you
dude,
know?
And one turns into three and three turns into yeah. nine, dude. I yeah. mean, the bottom line is yeah. that group that you start building relationships with not only might want to send you business, but
yeah.
dude, do you know how many people have sent us their competitors as affiliates? You know what I mean? They're like, dude, yeah. you know, they, cause competitors a lot of times know each other and like, well, yeah. this is my guy. This is yeah. who I use. Yeah. And now I'm getting business from that dude and his yeah. competitor and everybody's winning. It's yeah. just, it's crazy, man. Like, but they talk, people talk. So yeah. you got to create that experience. You know, you got to be dependable, reliable, create that awesome fulfillment processes to yeah. where not only are they getting taken care of, their customers are getting taken care of. And before you know it, man, that influence is created and more businesses coming your way. And it all starts with building those connections with
absolutely,
groups, you know,
absolutely. So. And what you're talking about in terms of fulfillment, starting with fulfillment, mm-hmm. it's basically considered that's reverse engineering.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's really what it is. Yeah. Yeah. The problem is most people go into business with one thing in mind on day one. Sales. I need to get a job. Again, whether it's a contractor, a realtor, I need to sell it. I need to get a house yeah. listed. I need to, you know, mm-hmm. you're not thinking about the end customer and the experience. You're thinking about starting generating yeah. revenue
right
immediately,
yeah.
right? Which is, dude, we're all, everybody that's, is guilty of it. I would say 100% of businesses initially when they hit startup phase is guilty of it.
Yeah.
So nobody's like.
It's all about money, right? In the beginning, it's all about
it is.
That first sell.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out fulfillment later.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go through the process. Let's just take action. A lot of people yeah. take action.
Yeah.
Which is important as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But it just changed my mindset, you know. Mm. If you want to, you won't have any customer service issues. It just eliminates a lot of problems. If you have a happy customer.
Let's bring a full circle here real quick, because we did start with fulfillment with that one four laws, right? Mm-hmm. Like we started with fulfillment. So here's the deal. Like it's all good to do a reverse engineering and starting with fulfillment, the customer experience in mind, but you also have to be
kind of maybe test and make sure you have something.
Yeah, exactly. Like so if it's a new concept, the problem was with that company, I think we invested like 20 or 30 grand in it, the four laws one, and we went up there and signed agreements with those people that published that book. You know, we were gonna basically resell their information. The fulfillment was there. Then we went to the marketing side of things because we thought, well, we've never really had that big of a problem generating leads if we need it. So we've got a good AdWords guy or whatever. We were so confident in that we actually missed the boat on at least maybe throwing, you know, $500 or $1,000 at maybe trying to do some lead gen, knowing that there's a market there. Boom, I know there's a market. Now let's really work on fulfillment and dial it in so that we can turn it up after that.
Yeah.
So I think that there has to be some sort of balance, because if you're investing all that time and energy and maybe money building out a fulfillment process, but yet there's no customer or you can't figure out a way to generate a lead,
yeah.
that was our downfall with that one business venture.
Well, I also think 90% of companies start the way that we start because we need to make money, you know
yeah,
what I mean? And
yeah,
so it is
yeah.
grab cash, it is yeah. sell.
Yeah.
And we do neglect all the fulfillment processes and creating that experience, but you kind of have to go through it. I think really the message needs to be like, the sooner you figure it out, the better off you're gonna be in the long run.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what
true.
I mean? Because at
that's
the end
true.
Of the day, like you do have to figure out that revenue stream.
Yeah.
Because you're in survival mode
yeah.
as a business owner,
yeah.
especially if you don't have anything else.
That's
and
true.
So I think the biggest secret or message I could tell people on this is like, dude, don't go, once you've got it figured out, like your sales process and all
yeah.
that, that's great.
Yeah.
Don't start giving yourself a raise until you know that experience
that
is created. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because if you're surviving on X amount of dollars from going out there and selling and just giving the customer the
yeah.
the bare minimum, like,
yeah.
dude, the quicker you figure out, the better experience, the better off you're going to be. So don't give yourself a raise until you go and dial that stuff in. And we've made those mistakes, but
yeah.
we had to go through it to figure it out. And so if you're listening to a podcast like this,
yeah.
that's a little bit of wisdom that we can share with you, because
yeah.
I really think if we would have done what we're doing now in the last couple of years,
yeah.
7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dude, we'd be way bigger than we are right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people think, like, oh, these guys are doing all this revenue. Dude, we could have been doing maybe double or triple what we're doing right now if we would have had that influence within all of our customers 7 years sooner.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the big message is the sooner you figure this out on your experience, on your fulfillment, the better off you're going to be. But you are going to go through that grab cash mode. Let's be real.
It's true. Cash is a good thing. But fulfillment's a good thing too. Yeah. And what I wanted to add to that just real quick, I honestly think like, immediately, whatever, if you need to start generating revenue to have money to support building a great fulfillment process, that might be the case. You may have to like, again, just throw together fulfillment and make it as best as of an experience as you can by generating revenue. But that first revenue, like Kel's saying, then turn to fix other things with that revenue before you pay yourself. And I honestly think that that will be cheaper in the long run. And here's why. Because of the referral game. If you're having to spend X amount, let's say your budget's $5,000 a month for marketing, right? That might be high for some, low for some, I don't know. But that's $60,000 throughout the year, right? Okay. Let's say on year five, you're still spending $60,000 because your fulfillment's not that great. But let's say if it was out of this world and you were getting referrals, by maybe year three, you could shut off marketing and you're literally living off of referrals. Now you're saving $60,000 a year because you went through the headache of creating a great fulfillment process. Mm-hmm. And it will be a headache. Well, it will be a rough time. Like, we've had a rough last month or two because we've had so much work. And we've even said, like, dude, the next 90 days is going to get fucking crazy before it gets better. Right? And that always happens like that. You might hit lows. You might go through a very crazy time. And it's easy to put this shit off because you're so focused on day to day and then you're exhausted just after the day's work. But plus now you've got to ramp up your back end, you know, or whatever, make fulfillment. And let's give a little nug here. Your back end, again, you just have to do what you said you were going to do. Following through is one. And then secondly, it's usually not the big shit that blows somebody's mind. It's those little teeny, the little teeny pieces of gratitude or appreciation that you show.
Yeah.
Like we told the car wash dudes that came down from Salt Lake. I'm like, dude, after you wash the car, put a handwritten thank you note with like, hey, we appreciate your business, coffee on us. So the next time they get in their car, without any expectation, they look in their cup holder and there's a handwritten thank you card with a $10 Starbucks coffee gift card. It wasn't the car wash, because how many people can wash a car and do a pretty damn good job? It will be those little teeny things that other people aren't doing that can blow the mind of an individual or create a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree. Absolutely.
I think a good way to think about this is like, let's say you're...
it doesn't have to be big.
Let's say you're a farmer growing a cattle herd and you got a mama cow and a papa cow, you know? And every time you get livestock growing up, you just sell it off.
Yeah.
But you're never really growing your herd unless you start making the sacrifice. And you could grab cash right now by selling those cows, you're like, no, I'm going to actually keep a couple more to grow my breeding herd.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, that's kind of your fulfillment is your breeding herd, right? You kind of got to make those sacrifices. Don't pay yourself more and just keep grabbing the cash and extracting it from the business. Yeah. You got to make that sacrifice and not make that sell of the herd and grow the breeding side to actually compound it into something bigger. And so the farmer that does that sooner is going to have the biggest breeding herd and he's going to be the one selling the most cattle 10 years from now versus the guy that keeps just selling off what he has to survive. So
he's shorting
it's a
himself.
Sacrifice.
He's shorting his long-term self. And I think a lot of people short their long-term self with the way that they choose to live too.
The now,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, I would say I
reward themselves.
Allocate some marketing budget to your fulfillment. You know, an ongoing portion of that to your fulfillment.
Kind of is.
And it'll come full circle.
Yeah, I was going to say it kind of is if you get referrals.
Yeah,
it's
It was just a cool little light went off when he started talking about that. So there is a balance. Everyone's at a different point in business when they start. Some people have already created successful businesses, and then some people are on a shoestring budget. You know, trying to make it work. So you got to go and move forward the way that's best for you. But yeah, ultimately, we want everyone to be successful and survive. So do what's best for your circumstances.
Yeah. So if you, absolutely. You got to sacrifice, you know, bottom line is you got to sacrifice a little bit now for the bigger gain later. You know, that's where people mess up.
Yeah, well, that's where I think 100% of people mess up. yeah. is they just want something too soon. That's just flat out what it is. Yeah. And then, but for what? Is that really like, who are you trying to impress? You're like, are you trying to impress yourself or are you trying to impress other people? Yeah. That's really what it comes down to. I think a lot of people want to look successful
yeah.
rather than really be successful mm-hmm. because the successful people look like they have a cool life. So you're emulating what they are showing people. And in some cases, you're emulating it way too soon in the process.
Yeah.
They've probably been doing it for 10 years. And if you're doing it for 2 years and you're buying, you know, those nice cars and this and that and big house, just trying to, then it's going to get to the point of what? When a slow time hits, mm-hmm. let's talk about slow times, bro. You know, and some of the mistakes that were made as young entrepreneurs in overextending yourself.
Oh, I've been there.
You know, Jeremy had a beautiful cabin that we had to bail him out of. You know, the company ended up buying.
Been great. In that yeah. way. whenever but I no, need dude, a parachute.
Bro, I honestly, dude, I think that we should talk about it just a little bit because we're talking about the mistakes in terms of being young and coming into a decent amount of money. Yeah. What are some of the what are some of your biggest takeaways from going from riding a scooter? Yes, a scooter.
You're going to bring that up?
Yeah, I'm going to dish you on... No, I'm just kidding. Scooters, man. Like, that right there is embarrassing.
Still have that.
That is embarrassing.
But look where we are today.
I know. Hello, right? Now he's six-figure escalating it rather than a $600 scootering it.
It's important
you know?
To remember those times.
You know? Yeah, no, for real, though. Let's talk about some of the difficult
Dude,
times.
There wasn't that cut around to come to my house because we were doing this in my basement. JD was our very first employee, dude. He's like, I'll come be a sales guy for you guys, you know?
Yeah.
But so we'd all meet up at the basement of my house and like Jeremy would be like, first thing in the morning with his gloves on because it was cold outside.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
we didn't have that cut around Foremaster Ridge.
Oh,
so like Jeremy be like,
over?
Dude, my moped barely made it over Foremaster Ridge, dude. Because he had to go up and over that hill to come over to my house. And so that's one thing I remember is like,
dude,
your moped barely
and
made
I had
it over
a laptop
the hill.
In my backpack. And it's like our whole company's riding on my back. So if I get a wreck or flat tire, we're done.
Yeah, BK in it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, I think a lot of us have these desires, and most of them are materialistic.
Yeah.
You know, as you grow, you know, I grew up in a medium income, or not low income, but medium income family home, you know. And as I grew up, I saw all these things that I wanted, cars and this and that, you know. So, As the years progressed and as I started making more money, we finally hit this great year in 2011. I'm like, all those things that I wanted, I now have the money for. I always wanted a cabin, you know?
Yeah.
So I went out and I bought this cabin. And then to get to the cabin in the winter, since the roads were inaccessible, I bought a razor. And then I bought tracks to put on it. And those were $4,000.
Yeah.
So I got myself into a hole. We bought a new car that year as well, a new Sequoia. I think
some four-wheelers.
I was just gonna say, bro, you had four-wheelers, you had a trailer, you had the house, you had the cabin, you had the razors. What else did you have that we didn't know about?
Well, we can't talk about that.
Yeah, not on air. So, okay.
But I bought all these things that I'd wanted my whole life.
Yeah.
And it got me into a bunch of debt.
Yeah.
And then
what was at your highest peak? What was your monthly outgo just to break even, just to cover your nut?
I think it would have been 8, 9.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think when we sat down in the office, and remember, I was like, "That's bullshit, dude. You don't have $9,000 a month in bills just to break even." And we sat in your office and we put it on paper.
Yeah.
We went through insurances, to gas, to groceries, to car payments, to the cabin payment, the house payment, and it was like $8,800 or something like that a month. So just to break even, you had to make $100,000 a month, and that has nothing to do with taxes. Or yeah, a year. Sorry, $100,000 a month. Yeah,
that, I didn't even get to the tax bill.
Exactly,
$125,000 tax bill I received that year, which I had to make payments on. You know?
Yeah, because you had overspent.
Well, income went down. You know, revenue went down in the business. So,
and not only that, I planned for my future taxes based on my past taxes. So I'd never paid near that much in taxes before.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just planning from the previous year and I got screwed. You know,
yeah.
And it really set me back. But it got me thinking. It was a great lesson, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's the whole point of this podcast, is to basically extract some of the lessons that some of the mistakes that have been made as you go through this freaking year after year of entrepreneurship. And then you might hit a point where you have a good year and you think that you've made it. and that gives you a sense of comfort, and a sense of comfort puts you in a scenario where you now overspend and put yourself in a situation that if something does change, then you might be screwed. Ask yourself that.
We definitely gave ourselves raises instead of making the sacrifice, investing in the systems and processes to get us through those hard times. Because, dude, we were selling. We always had to go chase a new customer, right?
Yeah.
If we would have invested in, you know, like systems and processes and better fulfillment, experience of fulfillment, like a lot of those customers might have just stuck around.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, like always having to turn and burn the new customer.
So going back to my experience as well, yeah. It didn't make me any happier. It actually stressed me out more, you know, and so it made me less happy. So yeah. I think the idea here is to just put money away and be cautious, be safe, you know, yeah. everything. Because material things don't ultimately make you happy.
They don't.
You know, you got to appreciate the little things in life, the relationships and marriage and kids and on all those little things. You know, that's really what brings long-lasting fulfillment.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically destination happiness, right? But the problem with that is when you put your happiness on a destination and you reach that destination and happiness isn't there, you end up at a lower point than you were trying to get there. Because at least when you were trying to get there, there was hope for happiness. And then when you actually arrive at that moment and you look around, you're like, okay, well, where's all the joy? And you realize the joy comes from on the inside, not from that thing. You can be joyful in chasing those things, but it's cool. You should be joyful throughout it. And so when you're there, that it is still a joyful experience. But if you're saying, man, I'll be happy when I have a cabin, and then you have a cabin and you realize that you're not happy still, you're going to be like, well, shit, what's going to make me happy? And then you're going to get more depressed than you were when you wanted the cabin originally. Yeah. At least you had hope in terms of something to chase. You know,
I think that's important to have something to chase, you know,
but shouldn't it be something maybe a little bit like, you know, security for my family? Mm-hmm. Maybe it should be a legacy, you know what I mean? Something bigger than just a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think not just with you in mind, but with others you want to bring up with you, your family, your friends, your business partners.
Yeah.
I think having that goal with people in mind is really what will bring happiness.
Yeah. Serving other people or helping other people kind of, dude, that's the podcast has been fun in terms of the messages and stuff that we receive. And it's not like we're getting a whole lot out of it in terms of like, you know, we're not charging for the podcast or anything, but dude, it's fun to serve other people and give back, give information back that can benefit other. And when you get those messages, you're like, damn, that feels
that's
good.
The fulfilling part.
Yeah, it's almost like when you work really hard and you cut that big paycheck to yourself, that feels good. You're rewarded. That's your reward, right? In a financial sense. In this, it's more of a, you know, impacting sense, right?
So
there's got to be a balancing act.
We continue to progress as human beings when we see other people's progress and bring them up with us, you know? So that is very fulfilling, I think.
Dude, I bet Austin loves his job or his business. You know what I mean? Watching other people have those aha moments and watching their business grow.
Absolutely.
He's making money helping other people make more money. That's got to be fulfilling as shit.
It's not, it's not a business really for him. It's just enjoyment, pure enjoyment, happiness.
Watching people evolve right before his eyes and get better right before his eyes.
And it drives him to do bigger and better things, you know, for other people.
I thought that was a pretty good podcast.
How long is it supposed to be?
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we wanted to one, introduce you guys to our partners, you know, and let you guys, I mean, it's not just me and Kel. I mean, obviously, you know, we've been doing the real business owners thing, but in regards to the businesses that we have, in terms of where we make our money, we do have, you know, partners and JD and Jeremy are involved in that. And, you know, we wanted to introduce you guys to them 2020 and show you guys that, you know, we're not carrying the brunt of everything. And at the end of the day, partnerships are difficult. Communication does have to happen if you want to make it work long term. You've got to sometimes have tough conversations with each other, just like you would have to have a tough conversation with a spouse.
Yeah.
You know, like in some cases, it might not sit well at first, but as long as your guys' goals are the same and egos are aside and everybody has the same North Star, it's okay to have some feelings hurt here and there along the way, but I think it'll all come full circle and be fine as long as it's all for the purpose of the company, not like, you know, getting upset at one individual Now, are you carrying the weight that you should be carrying? That's the first question you should be asking yourself in the partnership, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
but clearly defining roles too, I think, is important. Yeah. So you all know how to measure yourself to those, you know, things that you establish.
Well, nobody wants to be the one that's underperforming. Let's be real. That doesn't feel good to underperform, even if you're a sales rep. If you're and you don't even own a business and you listen to this, you know you want to be the number one sales rep. You never want to be the guy that's underperforming, or the company averages this and you're at the average or below average. It just doesn't feel good.
Nobody wants to be that bottleneck.
Yeah, nobody. Reason for, exactly. Yeah.
And you typically know if you are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So. Like, dude, everybody knows deep down, you know, whether they can give more or do more. And so at the end of the day, you know, communication is very important in terms of partnerships. And again, as Jeremy stated, you know, understanding what your role is, and maybe create those roles if you guys don't have those roles. Like, if there's a couple partnerships, maybe one's on the front lines helping operate the business and the other one's on the back end trying to help get more business or whatever it is, right? Like, just kind of figure that out, because if everybody's just kind of doing everything, then it's going to stay a little disorganized, and there's going to be very high stress moments and difficult moments in business. And it is 2020. If there's any time right now on January 1st to reflect and maybe about, should I invest a little bit more into my fulfillment? Has that been a thought in the back of my mind? Can I make things better? If you're thinking about that, you know for a fact you can make things better.
Yeah.
And the customer deserves your efforts in that regard.
Another takeaway that, as I'm looking at some of my notes, was like we talked a little bit about reading books and improving ourselves.
Yeah, that's
too,
true.
Because that also keeps the customer in mind. You're trying to improve and progress with the customer and deliver the very top-notch information or fulfillment, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You can pass that information or something along to, you know, your customer, because you continue to progress and improve.
No, I think that's a very valid point. I mean, some people, let's say, that are worth $10 million, $100 million that wrote a book, they've probably lost tens of millions of dollars to make tens of millions of dollars, and you can extract lessons out of that book without that same expense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's super, like, I'm just barely kind of coming around to the point of being open-minded to reading, right? Because I'm like, I've got it all figured out. I'm a good sales guy. I'm this, I'm that. I don't need that shit. You know, whatever, whatever. Yeah. And there's probably some of you guys that are listening that are closed-minded as well, because you think that you're so great. But at the end of the day, when you'll hit a point eventually to where,
you know, you don't got it all figured out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
what you know, and what you don't know, you don't know. And the only way to actually be in the know on the things that you're not up to date on is getting information, whether it's podcasts, whether it's books.
Well, you gotta listen to your excuses, dude, because we've all said it. I've heard you say it.
Yeah.
I know I've said it. Like,
what?
I don't retain the information that I get on books. And like, dude, I'd rather just listen to audiobook then, or I'm more of a visual learner.
Yeah.
Or I've said all the same stuff too.
Guilty.
And it took me a long time to be like, I actually had to read a book from front to back to be like, wow, I actually got a lot out of that.
Yeah.
You know?
But we talked about it last night at dinner. You don't retain the entire book, people.
Yeah.
So you're looking to retain an entire book. Mm-hmm. But no, it might be on the last chapter that you have that aha moment in one paragraph. Mm-hmm. And then and you take that one paragraph. And if you did that 10 times a year and you had 10 aha moments on 10 different books or whatever it is, that shit compounds over the over a 5-year period. Well, you know?
And to your point, like, I started reading Atomic Habits, and it's been a great book so far.
Yeah.
But he talks about just making small adjustments, and you'll land at greatness, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, he gave the example of an airplane that takes off from L.A. shooting for
New York.
And just making a little turn on the degrees, you know, on the...
One degree difference, you land in Florida.
Well, no, it was Washington, D.C.
Oh.
But all he's saying
I've
is
heard
start doing
similar
it.
To that,
I think you said you weren't a reader, you know?
Dude. I introduced myself. Everybody introduced themselves. I was the last one to introduce myself. You're supposed to say, hey, this is my name. This is where I'm from. This is my business. And this is my favorite book. And I was like, shit. You know, so I got up and I can't even really extract, like, when's the last time I read a book from cover to cover?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. You know, the last book I could really remember that was like cool was To Kill a Mockingbird. I read it in high school because I had to.
Yeah.
You know, like I've read some sales books. You know, I've digested that kind of information, but I really couldn't say it. Like, I set out to read this book to really like
learn,
to grow as a person, to get knowledge, to, you know? And so
I'm guilty of it.
I'm guilty, dude. You know? So I was like,
Well, at the end of the day, it is hard to get into if you're not a, if you haven't been a reader, and it's very easy to avoid that because it's not enjoyable. But you know what's crazy is everything's like that. So when, but the more you do it, the faster a reader you become, the more you naturally retain, and the more that you learn, because dude, it's a skill that's learned through doing it over and over and over and over again. You're practicing, right? So the first book you read, you might not retain a whole lot, but guess what? And it might take you a lot longer too.
Yeah,
guess what? The second book, the third book, the fifth book. I mean, dude, you start reading faster, retaining more, and learning more because you're getting better at the actual skill of just reading.
Yeah,
right. You know, no one starts out as a reader. No one starts out as a professional NBA player or a football player or Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
They become that person that they visualized, you know, or that they want to. They just make those small adjustments, you know. They start turning the knob, you know.
But like what Kel said, that we've said, we don't retain information. And so, all you're doing is giving yourself a valid excuse to not do something, because you may not retain information because you haven't done it enough to understand how to retain information or whatever it is through those reps.
You always pull something out of it, right?
Yeah.
Every time,
like,
dude.
Yeah. Like I remember one or two things too in these long books.
Yeah.
But it's been impactful for me.
I actually don't read a whole lot either. It's like, dude, 10, 15 pages a day. Next thing I know, I've read a book in a month.
Yeah.
It's like, that takes 20 minutes in your morning.
Dude, I wish they would have told us in school to read.
Do it.
Dude, what the hell?
I know, dude.
You have to go.
It's the school system's fault.
Yeah.
Again.
Damn school. The one thing that they actually taught that could have been beneficial, I avoided, you know, which was reading. Yeah. But I guess I had to attend school to, maybe I missed that class.
We worked on our social skills back then.
Yeah.
Which developed some helpful cell skills. Yeah. Which,
let's just say I was fun at a party, but not I wasn't in the book club. You know?
So that's the message for 2020, huh? Read more.
Yeah, no, for real. No, read more. Educate yourself in terms of, you know, how to better your business.
That is an investment.
Educate yourself in terms of as an individual, because you are the business.
And you don't know everything.
And you, dude, admit it. Shit, dude, I'm 35 and just barely getting to the point where I'm admitting that I don't know everything and being more open-minded to a damn book. Yeah. You know, where would I be?
Well, look at the lessons that have been learned by people.
Like,
they're all over the place in books. Yeah. You know? Do you want to learn from your own mistakes or from someone else's?
Yeah.
It's in a book.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's 100% true. Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We hope you guys have an awesome 2020. We know that, you know, we were just kind of chopping it up as business partners. I'm hoping that you guys extracted, you know, there's information in there if you're listening.
Well, you should.
You should be extracting information from this for sure that could benefit you.
You should have extracted, like, basically the idea of, like, looking where you can sacrifice and invest into better systems and processes and experiences for your customers.
Correct.
And investing into you. And that might just be time and reading and setting your ego aside that you don't know everything.
So. Well, if you're a better you and a smarter you, automatically you're going to start giving more value to your customers through reading, right? Because now you might pull something from a book like, man, I really like that. Like, appreciation is important for employees and customers. How can I show more appreciation? You know, so books can give you the knowledge or the information to even help make your systems or processes better or tweak something, you know?
Since this is dropping on January 1st,
you
know, everyone's going to be setting goals for the next year. But if you don't hit your goals, big deal. As long as you're trying to you know, finish those goals throughout the year, you're going to pull something out of it. You're going to progress as a person. You're going to become better.
The idea is to at least stretch.
Yeah.
Don't go into the year. Yeah, you know, don't fall off in February or whatever. Because you're not seeing something happen, unfold as quickly as you'd like, or maybe you fell off. The only reason why we're doing what we're doing is because we have a large vision. If we didn't have a large vision of what we would want to do with a company in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, we wouldn't be investing into ourselves and into our systems or processes. Mm-hmm. So if you have just kind of a small business and you want to keep it small, then cool. Keep doing whatever it is that you're doing. If you're happy, you're happy. But if you really want a big business, first off, stretch your vision. And you'll know once you've stretched it enough that you're right now not capable of accomplishing that unless you get better as a human and as a business in general. And then that'll make it easier for you to take those hard-earned money and start investing into you or the systems or processes or masterminds or networking, because your vision's so big that you're staring out over here and you're not Mr. Right Now trying to take to fuel a lifestyle. When your vision's that big, you're willing to sacrifice for a longer period of time to try to get there. Yeah. You know, so anywho, make sure that you guys leave a review. Usually I,
Did you have something to wrap up? I thought you were going to say something.
I usually read those reviews at the end of the podcast. I forgot about that. I'm going to pull them up right now and just show appreciation to somebody. Top Notch is the subject. ZThompson05 left this on Thursday. I just recently found these guys, and boy, I'm glad I did. Tons of great content, great work. Keep it up. Well, we appreciate that, ZThomas05. And again, guys, make sure you leave a review so that you have an opportunity for us to read your review on the podcast. Make sure you share it with a friend, family member, anybody that you care about that you think is trying to grow individually or financially, because I think that we drop enough information. Even in life in general, some of this information could be beneficial just to be a better human. So make sure you you share the information. Again, like, subscribe, review, all that good stuff. And as usual, we appreciate you. Thanks.